Okay, good morning. Let's make a start on time, because we have limited time, so let's use every minute that we have. Does everybody have the source sheet? Excellent. They're making a few more. If you don't have it, then I think they'll bring them in. But we are on the second of a series of Shiurim, Be'ezrat Hashem, that will deal with Torah text and transmission. And we looked last week at the Torah Shebichtav. We took a fairly in-depth look at when exactly it was that Moshe Rabbeinu received the mitzvot, when did he transmit them to the Jewish people, when were they finally written down into the Sefer Torah, at what point in the 40 years of transmission. And we said at the end of last week that we needed to move this week to Torah Sheba'al Peh, to the oral law. And there are a lot of, I think someone's just trying to come in there, whatever. There are a lot of very oversimplistic understandings of how Torah Sheba'al Peh works. Therefore, what I'd like to present to you today is quite a few sources. We probably won't get to the very end. We'll have to pick up at the end of the sheet next time because of the slightly shortened shiur today. But I want to basically raise the following question. When we say that the Torah Sheba'al Peh, that the oral law was given to Moshe Rabbeinu on Sinai, like we said, we started last week with the Ani Ma'amin Ba'amun Shalei Mashiach, Kol HaTorah Shemetsuya B'yadeinu, that the whole Torah which we have in our hands was given to Moshe Rabbeinu. What does that mean? Specifically when it comes to oral law, when it comes to the halachic system, to what extent was that really given to Moshe Rabbeinu? So, Torah Mishamayim is a very complex topic, and we're not going to be able to cover that now. There are many good svarim which have been written, and many bad ones as well, on the particular topic of Torah Min HaShamayim. But what we can cover today are some basic outline ideas. And I want to present to you a dichotomy. There are two different traditions in the sources as to what happened in terms of Torah Sheba'al Peh and Moshe at Sinai. One tradition seems to indicate that Moshe got everything that there possibly could be to get, which we'll see in a minute. And a separate tradition we'll see seems to indicate, no, how could that be? That doesn't make any sense. We'll see why it doesn't make any sense soon. That Moshe got general outline principles and the details followed later. Meaning, when we are living a halachic lifestyle, when we are developing new halachic ideas, is there, and this is really the question for today, is there such a thing as chidush? Is that real? Are we mechadesh anything? Are we writing the scripts as we go along? Or are we just reading the scripts? That's what I'm really asking today. And we'll see that this is a complicated question, but the answer, I think, begins to emerge from the text we're going to see today. So please look at your sheet. Let's start with source number two. Let's first of all look at the sources that indicate that Moshe had a maximalist understanding of Torah. There is that there was a full revelation of every single detail. Let's have a look at number two. Vayomer Hashem al Moshe, Alei Elai Hahara. So Moshe is told by God, after the Sinai revelation, come up to the mountain. And here's the shopping list of what I'm going to give you. Let's have a look. Source number two. Elei Elai Hahara, Ve'heyesham, and you're going to stay there. Ve'etna Lecha, and I'm going to give you the following list of things. Et Luchot Ha'Eben, the tablets of stone. Ve'hatorah, and the Torah. Ve'hamitzvah, and the mitzvah asher katavti l'oratam, which I have written for you to teach them. Okay. What are these things? What is this list of things? So have a look, please, in number three in the Gemara in Brachot. And this is a fundamental starting point in the Gemara. The Rambam quotes this when in his introduction to the Yad HaZakah. The Rambam, in a number of places, deals with the issue of the origins of Torah Sheba'al Peh. There are certain key sources we're going to see today and others which we're not going to have time for. One is his introduction to the Mishnah Torah. Another one is his more expansive introduction to the Mishnah itself, which he wrote in his commentary on the Mishnah. But the Rambam quotes this Gemara as a starting point, and we're going to look at the original here, number three. Va'amar Rabbi Levi Bar Chama, Amar Rabbi Shimon Ben Lakish. My dichtiv, what does it mean when it says, Va'etna lecha et luchay se'eben? I'm going to give you the luchay se'eben, v'hatorah v'hamitzvah shekasavti lehorasam. The verse we just saw in number two. Says the Gemara, luchay se'elu aseret ha'divros. Okay, so that's easy. The tablets are the Ten Commandments, so everyone's going to understand that Moshe got the Ten Commandments on Sinai, because he broke them on the way down. Torah, so what is Torah? Ze Mikra. This is Mikra, which is Chumash. Now, we said last time, if you remember last time, that there are two opinions as to when Moshe Rabbeinu received the written Torah in writing. One is Megillah, in installments as they went through the desert. And the other one is right at the very end, Chatuma. But did Moshe Rabbeinu receive Mikra? Did he receive the written law, the Chumash, at Har Sinai? So this says yes, but it doesn't make much sense. If Moshe Rabbeinu really received the written law, well, why didn't he just, you know, scroll forwards a little bit to Parsha Shlach Lecha and say, ah, yes, don't send out any spies. That's a bad idea. That's not going to work well. So let's avoid that. Why did he hit the rock, etc.? There are questions already to ask on that, but it says it, so let's take it at face value for now. V'ha mitzvah. So what is the mitzvah? Says the Gemara. Zo Mishnah. This is the Mishnah. Now, the Mishnah was put together at least 1500 years after Sinai, in around about the year 200 CE, by Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi. We'll talk about that. So, what does it mean that Moshe was given the Mishnah on Har Sinai? But maybe it means not just the Mishnah, but maybe it means the general oral tradition. We'll see. It goes on, Asher Kasafti, which I have written, Elu Nevi'im Uksuvim. These are the books of the Nevi'im and the Ksuvim, which is very problematic. What does it mean that Moshe Rabbeinu received the books of the Nevi'im and the Ksuvim? How does that work? Who wrote the book of Yahushua? Not a trick question. Yahushua. Okay. And who wrote the book of Shmuel? Shmuel, at least until the bit that he died. If you look for a second, just glance down at source number 6. The Gemara in Bava Basra says explicitly, Mi Kasvam, who wrote all the books of the Tanakh? So it says, Moshe Kasav Sifro, Moshe wrote his book, i.e. the Sefer Torah, Ufarashat Bilam, which is interesting, Parashat Bilam, which we call Parashat Balak, separated off from the rest of the Chumash. Why might you have thought that the Gemara has to tell you no, but why might you have thought that Moshe did not write Parashat Balak? Because he's not involved in it. He doesn't appear in it. It's all happening off stage, up on the top of the mountain, where Balak and Bilam are looking down on the people. But says the Gemara, no, that was written by Moshe as well. The Iyov. And Iyov, which is a debate in the Gemara, there is an opinion that Iyov was written by Moshe. There are other opinions as to whether it happened or not. That's not getting into that now. Yeshua Kasav Sifro, Yeshua wrote his book, Ushmona Psukim Sheba Torah, and the last 8 Psukim in the Torah, which we saw last time was something of a debate. Shmuel Kasav Sifro, Shmuel wrote his book, Ushoftim, Anshoftim, Verut, and the book of Rut. David Kasav Sefer Tehillim, and David wrote the book of Tehillim, and we could go on. Meaning, it's clear to us that the books of Tanakh were not written until the times that the people that wrote them. So what does it mean when it says that Moshe received Nevi'im Uksuvim on Har Sinai? Go back to number 3, towards the end of the second line. It goes on to say, Lahorotam, to teach them, Zet Talmud. This is the Talmud. Melamed, to teach us, Shekulam Nitnila Moshe Mi Sinai, that they were all given to Moshe on Sinai. Talmud, Mishnah, Mikra, Nevi'im, Ksuvim, etc. That's what it says. And people quote it as it is. I was once on a bus in Poland. I took a trip to Poland many years ago. There was a girl on the... I took a bunch of seminary girls with some other rabbis there. And there was a girl on the bus behind me that asked the rabbi. I heard her ask the question. She said to him, Rabbi, was the Gemara given to Moshe on Sinai? And he said to her, yes. Which, according to this source, seems like a perfectly good response. That's what it says. She came to me about 3 weeks later and said to me, listen, Rabbi, I've been thinking about this. What sense does this make? Moshe received the Gemara on Har Sinai? What about all the names and the places and the things and the people that came afterwards? It talks about Hadrian, talks about Titus, talks about the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash. Are you telling me that Moshe Rabbeinu had that book on Sinai? What does that mean? And that's a good question. What does this source mean? How are we meant to understand it? What's more, it goes even further. Have a look in the Gemara in Megillah, number 4. Amar Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Mai dechsiv. Why? What does it mean when it says that Aleihem Kekol Hadvarim Asher Dibar Hashem Imachem Bahar, that written on the Luchos were all inclusive, all the things that God spoke to you on the Har, at the mountain? Melamed Sheherahu Hakadosh Baruch Hu LeMoshe, that God showed to Moshe. The word "showed" is important. Digdukei Torah, the Digdukei Soferim, all the details of Torah, all the details of the rabbis. Umashe HaSoferim Asidim LeChadesh. And everything that the rabbis would later be Mechadesh, God showed that to Moshe Rabbeinu. But he got an all-inclusive understanding of Torah. Now, built into this source itself is something of a contradiction. What does it mean that the rabbis would be Mechadesh, but Moshe already knew them? So, is that Chidush? Are they really being Mechadesh? It says they're being Mechadesh, but Moshe knew that already, so what kind of Chidush is that?
No one else knew them.
Okay, so it was a chiddush to them, but really, were they writing the script? No, they were reading the script. That's with the written Torah. We're talking about the oral Torah here. Mugdam u'mucha b'Torah, we're talking, that's in the text. Have a look at number 5, which is perhaps the pinnacle of this idea. In the Gemara Yerushalmi, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi Omer, Mikra, Mishnah, Talmud, Agadah, the Agadah to the Midrashim as well. Afilu mashe Talmud batik asid la'oros lifnei rabbi. Even anything that an intelligent student would ask or would rule in front of their rabbi, Kfar nemel Moshe b'Sinai. Any question that's raising up in your minds right now that you're about to ask a stunning question on what we've looked at, it's not your question. Moshe Rabbeinu already knew that question before it even came into your mind. Says the Gemara here, Yesh, my time, what's the reason? Why should that be? Yesh da, because there could be something, Shiyomo, the person might say, hey, look, Zechazashu, it's new, a new idea in Torah. Meshivo Chaveiro Va'oimelo, his friend will respond to him, nah, new shmu. Kfar hayalo lamim. You think it's new? It's not new. It's old as the hills. It's old as the Torah. So again, what is Chiddush? We understand that there is such a thing as Chiddush. People are being Mechadish all the time. New ideas. What would Moshe Rabbeinu have said if I'd have asked him, Moshe Rabbeinu, if I cook with a microwave oven on Shabbos, is that Bishul or is that not Bishul? What would he have said? I don't know the answer to that question. I don't know Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah, but it sounds from this somehow he would have known the answer to that question. However he would have approached it. So there are many sources, we've seen here 3 or 4, which indicate clearly that Moshe Rabbeinu had a maximalist understanding of Torah. He had literally every single thing that was, that would be in the future. However, there are other sources that say clearly the opposite. From Chazal, leaving aside the logical questions and the philosophical questions that we have on this, which is how could Moshe have the books of Tanakh and how could Moshe have the whole Mishnah and what does that say about Chiddush? The Gemara itself contradicts this in other places, or Chazal do. Look at number 7, please. Chazal in the Medrash, Merabah in number 7, say the following: Vayitin el Moshe, God gave the Luchos to Moshe. Amar Rabbi Abou, Kol Mem Yoim Sha'asa Moshe Lamala. All 40 days that Moshe was on high. Hayalamed Torah, he was learning Torah, b'shocheach. In case you think this is just you and me, he was forgetting it. Everything he learned, he forgot. Very frustrating. Which, of course, this is a medrash, and it's meant to be communicating, not what happened on Sinai, but the intrinsic, philosophical, theological problem of how can a finite being access an infinite system of wisdom? What is the interface between the finite and the infinite? How can that work? Amalei, he said to God, Ribbono Olam, Yesh li mem yom. I only have 40 days here, and I've had 40 days. But any of them have davar. I'm stuck. I don't know anything. Ma'as HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do to Moshe? B'shehish li miyom. At the end of the 40 days, Natan lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's why he uses the word Vayiten el Moshe. He gave. He doesn't say he taught Moshe in the Pasuk. He says he gave it to him. Natan lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu et HaTorah Matana. As a gift. Shenemar v'yiten el Moshe. So on some level, the infinite Torah had to be given, almost in a miraculous way, had to be given by God to Moshe Rabbeinu. But then the Midrash asked the question that I'm really looking for. V'kikol haTorah lamad Moshe? Are you serious? Is it really possible? Even let's say he didn't forget. Is it possible to learn that Moshe would have learned the whole Torah in 40 days? K'siv b'Torah, isn't it written by the Torah, Arukum Eretz Mida, V'racham in a Yom? The Torah is so big, the Torah is so broad. How could Moshe learn the Torah? Well, Arbaim Yom Lamda Moshe, and in 40 days Moshe could learn the Torah. Ridiculous. Walk into a library of Torah Sforim, hundreds of thousands and millions of words. How could Moshe learn that in 40 days? Ella, and I've underlined and put these words in bold, which means they're important. Ella, but rather, says the bottom of source number 7, Klalim Lamada Kosh Baruch Hu Moshe. What did God teach Moshe? Klalim. What's klalim? General principles. General ideas. Meaning, of course, says the text, the Torah in all its detail could not have been taught to Moshe Rabbeinu. But what Moshe in fact got was klalim. General principles. And the Sefer HaIkrim, which was written much later, Rabbi Yosef Albo, in the 15th century, in Spain, he comes along and he explains this idea. Look at number 8. V'od. You cannot give Torah in a way at any one time that will be sufficient and complete for all times. There are so many new things, new details. Pratim mitchadshim, chidush again. Tamid, Be'inyaniha nashim, in human life, b'mishpatim, in legal issues, b'hadvarim anifalim hem rabbi ma'oit b'shichlam b'sefer. There's surely far too much Torah to be included in one book. Al-Kain, therefore, what happened at Sinai? Nitnu l'moshe b'Sinai, al-peh, what did Moshe get b'al-peh, Torah shab'al-peh Sinai? Drachim kolalim. Drachim kolalim. General drachim. How are we going to translate drachim? Methodologies. Principles. General methods. Nirumazuba Torah b'ktara, which are hinted to the Torah in very short form. Kadesha al yadam, so that through those general principles, says the Ikrim, yotziu hachachamim shebechol dor vador hapratim hamitchadshim. That the details would be developed later by the chachamim of all the generations. But what was given on Sinai was the methodology, and the details came later. So, you have two different sets of sources, just to summarize so far. We have one set of sources which indicate very clearly that everything was given to Moshe on Sinai. Every detail, everything you're thinking about right now, every question an intelligence student would ask, all given to Moshe. And yet you have other sources here that clearly indicate, no, that's ridiculous. How could it be? 40 days, you got the whole Torah. Philosophically, it's not possible anyway. Things are produced by Chidush throughout all the generations. What did Moshe get? General methodologies. And the halacha comes later in all its glorious technicolor. I have a poster at home which people like looking at called the Sea of Halacha. It's a nice poster. It's hard to get hold of these days. And people spend hours just looking at the poster and working it all out. It has this big poster, wall-sized poster. It has a Har Sinai at the top. It has a little trickle coming out from Har Sinai, which grows. And it shows you the Mishnah and the Talmud. And it shows you all the halachic system until there's a massive sea of halacha. I don't know whether they thought about this. I'm sure they did when they drew that poster. Whoever drew it is from Beth Hatzfutzot. They're following the Shita, the second Shita of the Sefer Ikrim, which is the Torah started as a trickle and ended up as an enormous sea of halacha. In what sense is that sea of halacha Torah misina? In what sense is that Torah min hashamayim? So let's see if we can resolve this dichotomy. And this is the main resolution. There are two or three resolutions. I'm going to deal with the first of them today, maybe the second in part, and the third we'll have to leave till next time, I think. This is the most important one, which is the following. I'm going to show you a number of very important sources which explain Torah Misinai as being the following. Anything which is derived from the system which Moshe Rabbeinu received on Torah through the text that he received on Sinai, or through the 40 years, using the brains that we're given by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So you have a divine text, you have a divinely given brain, you have divine methodologies. Anything which comes out from that system is Torah Min HaShamayim. That is Torah Min HaShamayim. I don't care if it was produced 3,000 years ago by Yeshua, or 15 minutes ago by someone sitting in a Beis HaMedrash. That is a Chiddush, that is Torah Min HaShamayim. And we'll see how that works right now. Because it all stems from the potential of the original revelation. Have a look at number 9, please. Let's pick up on this midrash. I go through a number 7, the midrash from Shmot Rabbah, which talks about Moshe Rabbeinu getting general methodologies. Let's have a look at number 9. This is a commentary of the Marazu. Marazu is Rav Zev Wolf Einhorn, not so famous, but he appears on the classic text of the Midrash Rabbah. And he says the following, this is what it means. Klalim lemad HaKadosh Baruch Hu leMoshe. What were these klalim that Moshe Rabbeinu was taught? Says the Marazu, Elu Darchei HaDrashot. This is the system of drashot. Shekol Mida, because every one of these midot, you'll deal with that in a minute, melamedet le'ein cheke, can teach almost infinitely, without limitation. Says the Marazu here, what it means when Moshe received Klalim on Har Sinai, it means the system of Drash. What is Drash? If I had a whiteboard, I'd write on the whiteboard. But Drash works like this. I don't mean Drash in the sense of the colloquial drosha that the Rav gives on Shabbos, but Drash in the following sense. If you take a Pasuk, and you apply the Midot, now we are familiar with some of the Midot, the Yud Gimel Midot, Shehatorah Nidreshet Bahem. If you look in your Sidur, just after Korbanot, it's slightly less traveled part of the Sidur. One of my rabbeins, Rav Isaac Bernstein, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, who I was close to, used to say the following amongst his many witty comments. He used to say, when people come late to shul, the first thing that gets sacrificed is the Korbanos. Except he said it with a deep Irish brogue, which I won't try to imitate. Are you in London? Correct. I was in London for many years with him. I was actually, my wife and I were on the taping committee. If you ever listen to the tapes, that we were sitting there, my wife and I, on a Monday evening, taping the Shirim in the days when it was tapes. And therefore, that was our exposure to Rav Isaac, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. Let's have a look at what he says. The Yud Gimel Midot that appear in the Sidur, just after the Korbanot, of Rabbi Yishmael, are just an example of Midot. Midot literally means a measure, means like a system, like a formula, if you can imagine a formula. There are many more than 13. In fact, the Malbim, in his Perish Ayelet HaShachar, at the beginning of Vayikra, he lists 613. Obviously a number that he came to on purpose, different ways that he said Chazal analyze the psukim, these midot. And what do? They take these midot, they apply them to the text, and they produce halakha. Drash. Drash is the production of halakha through the application of textual analysis using the midot that we received as well. See, the Rambam says on Sinai. And therefore, drash, he says, is a process of producing details from general principles. And that is what it means that God gave Moshe Rabbeinu Klalim, and we'll see a very beautiful idea coming out of that in a minute. Yes?
I thought the 32
of Rabbi Eliezer
was for a guy. Sorry.
The 32 midot of Rabbi Eliezer that you're talking about is talking about a Agadah. Okay. The 13 midot of Rabbi Yishmael is talking about Halacha, but these 13 are just Rabbi Yishmael's. There are many others. In fact, interestingly, if you learn Gemara, you'll notice that the 13 midot of Rabbi Yishmael that we recite in Shul actually are very rarely used. Klal upras uklal, they're not the standard ones. There are many midot that actually come up on every daf of the Gemara. The idea, for example, that etz comes to include something, that kol comes to include something. You see every single page of the Gemara, you see this again and again. So there are many more than Rabbi Yishmael's, but you're quite right. The 32 of Rabbi Eliezer for Agadah, which is another less trodden path, which we're not going to talk about right now. Have a look at what the Rambam says about this. Number 10. Mashelot Shamu min ha-Navi. This he's talking about after Moshe Rabbeinu died and Yoshua. What they didn't hear from the Navi, Alav HaShalom. Yesh b'si'ivav masa amatam. There can be then a debate, a masa amatam, about that. The Nilmad bo hadin. Where do we get the halacha from? We're going to learn the halacha. B'darchei ha'iyun. Again, drachim, through analysis. B'shlosh yisrei ha-midot. Through the 13 midot. Shenitnu lo Basinai. So again, Rambam wants to stress to us that the methodologies are given to Moshe Rabbeinu on Sinai. Now, whether all of the Malbim 613 were as well is a good question. But the 13 at least, and when the Rambam talks about the 13, he's talking about the system of Midot and Drash generally. That's what it means that there was a Masa and a Matan, and there's Machloket. We'll get to the question of Machloket. One of the big questions we need to raise in this whole course is, why is there Machloket? Why can't people agree? Is there as much machloket as we think? Or I'm talking about halachically, but it applies generally with Jewish people. Do we like machloket? Do we not like machloket? How does this work? Is this a kasha for us? Is this a problem? Meaning, do we understand the machloket is that the system's got garbled somehow? People are playing broken telephone? Or is there another reason for machloket? We'll talk about that in much more detail, that is Rav Hashem. But the Rambam says clearly there's a masa and a matan, there's a development of these ideas. Have a look in number 11. Says the Rambam here in his Sefer Mitzvahs, Kfar bi'arnu b'psichat chiburenu, the Perush HaMishnah, sh'roiv dinei ha-Torah. Most of the Torah, the halachas, yatsu b'shloish esrei midah she'atzerin drash b'sem, were actually derived in this manner. If I asked you, how many of the details of halacha were actually given in their full detail at Har Sinai, says the Rambam, the minority. This is something we call halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai, which we'll talk about. He says, actually, the majority of halachot were derived in this way of drash. This is a very important source. Not everything that the rabbis derived through hekesh, which is another system of these midot, the connection of psukim. Mishloish esrei midos. Nema, can you say about that? Shehu nema l'moshe b'Sinai. He said, is it incorrect to say that every halachic detail was given to Moshe on Sinai? In fact, most of the Torah was derived afterwards through the process of drash, which the Rambam is going to explain is a Torah process. It's dinei doraisa, although that's a big machlokes as to how the Rambam works on this. But in number 12, you'll see that a very interesting source which I've given you here from a book called the Dor Revi'i. A sefer called the Dor Revi'i by Rav Moshe Glasner. Rav Moshe Glasner was the great grandson of the Chasam Sofer. That's why he calls his book the Dor Revi'i. He was, interestingly also, his son, Rabbi Akiva Glasner, was one of the main rebbeim of Rabbi Eliezer Berkowitz. And Rabbi Eliezer Berkowitz, who some of you probably knew, and he had a lot of very interesting things to say about the halachic system. Some of them a little bit controversial. If you read his book, which we'll have opportunity to quote from in the coming Shirim, he wrote a sefer called Not in Heaven, which I think is a very important read on these issues, where he beautifully, Rav Berkowitz, goes through the halachic system. And at the end, he has some quite controversial things to say about where he thinks the halachic system should go in terms of agunot and gerut and things which are very, still today, very topical. But Rav Moshe Glasner was from that tradition that Rav Berkowitz inherited. So let's see what he says. Number 12. Ki kemoshe hu kechachmas hateva. Just like we see in science, he says. Sheha'adam besichlo, that a man, mankind, through their intelligence, utfunata, and their understanding, mamtzi chadashot, produces new ideas, mina yisodot, from the foundations, hayushanot. Meaning, how does science work? The rules of nature don't change, but we delve into them and we pull out new ideas through our own sechel. Says Rav Glasner, kein hu v'chochmas Torah. That is true of the chochma of the Torah as well, HaKadosh. Ki im shamoa yash beyashan, tishma'u b'chadash. Amru Chazal. When it says, im shamoa tishma'u in the Shema, if you hear, you will hear. He says, means if you listen to the old, you will hear the new. What does that mean? The kavanasam, what do they mean by this, is as follows. Shemina Torah yashana, hamutsuya beyadenu. From the Torah, which exists from old, which we have in our hands. Hamityageva, if you really delve into it, umeimit atzmala, and really kill yourself over it. This is quoting an idea of Adam ki yomot ba'oil, zois chokas ha'Torah. What does Torah have to be? Someone who actually delves in it in all its intensity. Yochel ha'itzi chadash. You can bring out new ideas. Shalohaya od la'olamim. Never were before. Ubebechino zo amru chazal she'akodesh baruch hu hera Moshe kol Moshe talmid vasik hasid lachadish. And that's what it means when he says that Moshe was shown on the mountain everything that every future talmid would be lachadish. Ki bekoach haya munach b'Torah, because everything is in potential built into the Torah. Kol Moshe haya asid lachadish b'chol dor b'dor. Therefore, Rav Glasner here clearly sets out this idea that when it says that every detail was given to Moshe, what does that mean? It means that Moshe was given the system through which, and everything was coded in potential into that system, through which the details could be derived. Therefore, go back to my question. Let's say I would go to Moshe Rabbeinu and say, Moshe Rabbeinu, what is the halacha of Bishul with a microwave oven? Tell me. So I don't know what the answer would be, because I'm not privy to Moshe Rabbeinu's nevuah. Well, maybe he knew all about microwave ovens. Maybe yes. But maybe no. And maybe he would turn around to me and say, listen, I don't know about microwave ovens, but I have the text, I have my brain, and I have the system to work out how halacha works. You tell me how a microwave oven works, which I frankly couldn't do, but whatever. Someone should tell me how a microwave oven works, and we can work it out. We have everything we need, because we have the ability to produce new halacha. All we need is the divine text, the divine system of drash, and the human mind. Now, we don't do this anymore, for reasons will become evident. We don't, when we produce chidush today, we don't look into the chumash and delve into its ideas and produce new halakha. We don't do that anymore. And there's a simple reason why we don't do that anymore. Because we now have a Gemara, and we learn from the Gemara. Why do we have a Gemara? Because we're in Golas. Why are we in Golas? Okay, you can go and think about that, and we can all think about that further. But at the end of the day, this system, which was designed to be with a Sanhedrin producing new halakha on this basis of drash, this system is now frozen because of the reality of Golas, which we'll talk about as how that works, and will one day unfreeze again. But in principle, this is the way that halacha is meant to be derived. That's why you can make a statement like in number 13, when the Gemara says, or the Midrash says, "Devarim shaloi niglu leMoshe," things that were not revealed to Moshe, niglu leRabbi Akiva v'chaverov, were revealed to Rabbi Akiva. Does that mean Rabbi Akiva was on a higher level than Moshe Rabbeinu? No. But it means that Rabbi Akiva was able to actualize the halachot, which were previously only in potential in the system of Torah Mesinai. And there is an absolutely classic Gemara which deals with this, which I want to learn with you now. This is Gemara number 14 in Menachos, which is, it's a beautiful, it's very dramatic, it's also very on the point that we're trying to make today. Have a look here at number 14. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav. B'shar Shalom Moshe Lamarom. When Moshe went on high, Matzah HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Sheyoshe, V'koshe, K'sarim, La'isyas. He found HaKadosh Baruch Hu sitting, tying the crowns, the little tagim that appear on some of the letters, tying the crowns to the letters. Now, this obviously is a midrashic source. It is clearly not meant to be taken on a literal level, obviously, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not sitting physically anywhere and not writing anything physically into any Sefer Torah, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu clearly does not have a physical Sefer Torah. However, what Chazal are trying to do here is communicate this idea that we are discussing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is tying crowns to the Torah. Amar lefanav, Moshe says to him, Ribono shel Olam, mi ma'akev al yadcha? Who's holding you back? Meaning, why are you doing this? What does this add? Why couldn't we get the Torah without the crowns? This looks like just doodling in the Torah. What could this possibly mean? Please give it without the crowns. We don't need the crowns. Amar loisa, Hashem says to him, no. Adon echad yesha atid li yois besoif kamadoris. There is a man coming along, many generations from now. The Akiva ben Yosef Shema, his name is Akiva ben Yosef. She'asid, because he in the future lidrosh is the word drash, lidrosh al kol kites for kites, on every spike of these crowns he will be able to be doresh tilim shel halachos, heaps and heaps of halachos. Which is actually, as a side point, very interesting, because we don't have in our Shulchan Aruch one single halacha which is learned out of a drash from the spikes of the crowns of the letters. So what is this talking about is a good question. Maybe it's talking about Kabbalah. Not for now. Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, of course, and the whole Zohar, without getting into the whole issue of where the Zohar comes from. That's another, you know, whole discussion. But Rabbi Akiva was the Rebbe of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. But leave that to one side for now. So there's going to be someone who comes and derives many halachas from this. It's not just doodling. Amar lefanav, and Moshe says to him, Ribono shel Olam, Heroli, show me him. And here, if you wanted to cinematically produce this, you fade out. That's the end of scene one. So Hashem says to him, Amalei says to him, Chazor li achorecha, turn around. So Moshe turns around, and now we fast forwarded 1500 years into the Bet Midrash of Rabbi Akiva. Halach, Moshe goes, v'yashav, and he sits, v'soif shmoina shuras, at the end of the eighth row. Which is interesting, because why does it tell us the eighth row? Because the classic Bet Midrash we learn had seven rows. Because Moshe isn't really on a row, he's on a virtual row. Also, the whole number seven, number eight, you can apply here the whole Maharal discussion as to whether eight is beyond the physical, etc. Moshe is sitting on the eighth row, listening to the Shia, and it doesn't go very well. The Laha Yudea Moshe Haimon. He didn't understand what they were saying. He doesn't understand the Shia. Tashash Kocha, he became very disheartened. Why? Because he's Moshe Rabbeinu. He's received the Torah at Sinai, and 1500 years later, he doesn't understand what they're talking about. What is he thinking? What have they done with the Torah? 1500 years, and this is what it becomes? I don't know what's going on here. This is all new to me. Kaven Shehegi El Davar Echad, as soon as they got to one particular issue, Amrloi the Tamidim Tetz Rabbi Kiva, Amrloi Tamidav, Rebbe, Ma'at Minayin Lecha, where do you get this halacha from? So Amalehemi says to them, Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. This is Torah Misinai. So Moshe Rabbeinu is listening to this. Nityashva Dato, he feels better now. He still doesn't understand what's going on in terms of learning the Shir, but, oh, I see, this is somehow the system of Halacha, meaning this is called Torah Misinai, even though this is not specifically what I necessarily received on the mountain. This is coming from a system which has, in the end, produced this halachic reality. Chazor Rabba Lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so Hashem, he once again appears to Hashem. Amar lefanav, he says to him, Ribono shel Olam, yesh lecha adam kazeh, there's a person you have like this, va'atanos in Torah al yadai, you're giving Torah through me. Again, put this together with the other medrash that Moshe Rabbeinu is forgetting the whole Torah, all 40 days. So he says to him, look, you know, you've got the wrong man. Again, Moshe says to Hashem, you've got the wrong man. This is a refrain of Moshe Rabbeinu. Amar loy, he says to him, stop. That's it. That's the end of the discussion. Kach alav b'maksav alafan. This is how I want it to be. Which is, all the words in Midrashim are codes. Kach alav b'maksav is an expression which is used for potential. Meaning, we see in another Midrash, which is not directly related to this, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted alav b'maksav to create the world badin. And in the end, he could not. He created it barachamim. And again, meaning the potential of the world was it was to be din, but the actual reality was racham. And so too Hashem says to him, no, the potential, kach alav machshava, is to give it to you. Because you have the Torah bakoach. You have the Torah in potential. What's going to be eventually is through Rabbi Akiva. So It's very interesting. You have a source, by the way, the postscript to this, which I'm not getting into now, is Moshe Rabbeinu. The next question he says to him, okay, but at least let me see the schar, let me see the reward that Rabbi Akiva gets for being such an amazing Talmid Chacham. And the God says to him, are you sure you want to see this? He says, of course. So then he shows him Rabbi Akiva being torn to pieces by the Romans. And he says, Zot Torah, Zot Schara. This is what it. And then you can have a whole discussion about theodicy and why it is that bad things happen to great people, etc., which is not sure for now. But that's the place to find it. But what we are learning from this Midrash, from this Gemara in Menachas, is the following. That it's explaining that Torah Misinai is a process of potential becoming actualized. Look in the Pre-Tzadik, from a different source, in number 15. Acha'inyin shebachol makum shenema, says the Pre-Tzadik Rav Tzadik HaKohen of Lublin. Whenever we say halacha lamosha besinai, ein haperush shenim salah lamosha halach. Amazing. Everyone says halacha lamosha besinai. Oh, it means that this is what God gave to Moshe on Sinai. No, that's not what it means. It doesn't mean that God gave this to Moshe on Sinai. The halachas nema rak al Torah shebal peh, sheloi nichtav. What does it mean? Exactly the same idea. The Moshe was given the power, the potential, ledarshoi, again, drasha, to produce the pilpuloi in his own pilpul, min ha-Torah, from that Torah, ulahamsi halachas, and produced new halacha. You see this again and again and again. Look in the Ramban, in number 16, over the page. Shekev and shenema la-Moshe besina. Since the Ramban is talking about rabbinic law, he's asking the following well-known question, which the Gemara asks, which is when you light Hanukkah candles, why do you make the brocha? Asher kiddushanu b'mitzvaysav v'tzivanu. Heichan tzivanu, says the Gemara in Shabbos. Where do I get a command from God to light Hanukkah candles, or to light Shabbat candles, or to do any mitzvah, Rabbanan? Says the Ramban, that when Hashem gave the Torah on Sinai, Shikamlu Aleihem Yisrael mitzvahs based in Hagadol. Part of that Torah was to receive the mitzvah of the Bedin Hagadol, the Sanhedrin. Ubo Heim, they came later, Vetiknu et Elu. He's not talking about Drash. He's talking about another part of Torah Shebal Peh, which we'll talk about, which is rabbinic law, which was produced purely by the Sanhedrin. They came and produced this. Kfar Nemru Kulam Lemoshe B'Sinai. But even these rabbinic laws were already said to Moshe at Sinai. How so? Ein hefresh beinayim, there is no difference between them, but Amir at Sinai, when it comes to Torah from Sinai, ela chizeh b'prat, v'zeh b'chlav. Meaning, when the Ramban is saying that Moshe was given the mitzvah on Sinai of lighting Hanukkah candles, he's not saying that Moshe was given the mitzvah on Sinai of lighting Hanukkah candles. He's saying Moshe was given the mitzvah of Sinai, on Sinai, of listening to the Bedin HaGadol and the Sanhedrin, and everything that they would say would become halacha. And through that, therefore, we say Vitzivanu, because the command is that we're listening to the system, and the system is producing the specific halacha. This is very important. And we'll see this is the derech of the Rambam, this is the derech of the Ramban, and this is the derech of many others. This, however, is controversial. And there were others which we'll see next time, because we haven't got time this time. We've got a few more minutes, we can do a couple more things. But there are others that disagreed with this very strongly and said, absolutely not. Every single detail was indeed given on Sinai. Not like the Rambam saying. Every single detail was given on Sinai and was passed down through the generations. This, I think, is how it tends to be taught in high school. When people talk about Torah Misinai, they don't give over the discussion that we've just had now about Koach and Pratim and Klalim. They say, no, everything was given on Sinai. And they insist on that, and we'll see this is the Shita of the Gaonim, this is the Shita of the Raivad, this is the Shita of Rav Hirsch, and most of the 19th century school of Rabbanim there. Why is that problematic? Why is the Rambam so unhappy? We'll see next time that he gets very unhappy. He says this is a disgrace to suggest this. Because you get the following question. Every intelligent high school student, and there are a few, I've met them, if they're listening to that discussion in their class when they're 17 and they're told the entire Torah was given to Moshe on Sinai, they'll put two and two together and they'll say, look, the entire Torah was given to Moshe with all its detail on Sinai. And yet, every page of the Gemara, there seems to be a machlokas about this, machlokas about that. the rabbis can't agree today on this and that, although I think that the amount of machlokas is overstated sometimes. People sometimes focus on the details so much they don't realize from anyone from the outside it doesn't look as though we have any agreement, disagreements at all. But anyway, that's not for now. They'll say, look, how can those two things go together? If the whole thing was given with all its detail on Sinai, and yet now everyone disagrees about everything, what can possibly be the explanation for that, other than everything got garbled along the way? Otherwise, why is there disagreement at all? Is that not problematic on a theological level? And that student will probably think that, not necessarily ask it, and if they ask it, not necessarily get an answer. And from what we've seen today, that's completely incorrect. That's not true. The Rambam, and we'll see explicitly when we get into next time, the Rambam will say to the student, you've got the wrong end of the stick. The Torah was not given in all its detail on Sinai. Yes, there were some details given, we'll see right now. But much of the detail, as the Rambam said to us today, was learned afterwards by Drash. Meaning, the reason that there's machloket is not because, God forbid, things got garbled. And the Rambam says, you're saying Lashon Hara about the Balei HaMasorah. It's not that they got garbled. What we received on Sinai was passed down without machlokas. Says the Rambam, the machlokas comes in the Drash. Why? Because different people are looking at the Pesukim in different ways. And that's perfectly normal. You had a question?
Yes.
Oh, so we'll talk about them. And they were restored by Otniel Bayman Knas. Through what? Through Drash. Okay. They were lost, but they weren't lost forever. Because there is a system through which you can restore them. They weren't lost and then garbled. Yes.
Why didn't the Pasuk read? If there's an argument that you can make, Right. Why didn't the Pasuk say that there will be differences?
Right, correct. The question is, what area of halacha are those differences talking about? Is that talking about rabbinic law? Is that talking about drashot? We'll see there's a very major discussion about that. When we look at rabbinic authority, which we'll have a chance to do, we will examine exactly that. Last question, and then I'll just finish, because we're going to go downstairs in a few minutes. Yes? Yes.
Who decided it has to be an Esrog?
That's a very good idea. That's a good question. The Rambam gives that Davka as an example of halacha that was given on Sinai and was never mixed up. Meaning there is nobody throughout Jewish history that argues that instead of an Esrog, we should take a banana or a kumquat or a lemon. No one says a lemon. Everyone agrees a lemon is possible. Everyone agrees that tefillin are black, square, made of leather. No one suggested they are pink, furry, and round.
So where is that from?
We'll talk about that next time. Let's just look at the last couple of sources and then we'll have to finish. So, Lemaisa, according to this shita that we're learning today, what was given at Sinai? So look at number 17, we'll see right as follows. Hotzam Rishus Rishus, says the Rambam, carrying on Shabbos, Melacha Me'avitz Melachas, is one of the 39 Melachas. The Af Alpi Shedavazeh, even though this matter, Im kol gufei haTorah, with all the gufei haTorah, mipi Moshe b'Sinai nemru, was given to Moshe on Sinai. The Rambam learns that there was a great deal of information given indeed in detail on Sinai. Gufei haTorah. Not necessarily every prat of everything, but gufei haTorah were given. Look at number 18. That you should know. Ki kol mitzvah shenatan HaKadosh Baruch Hu LeMoshe Rabbeinu alav shalom nitna lo bepeirusha. Every mitzvah which was given to Moshe Rabbeinu was given with a peirush. Who on Eloi mitzvah? He would give him the mitzvah. And then he would give the explanation. Meaning, Moshe didn't walk out of the Ohel Moed and say to the Jewish people, look, there's good news and bad news. The good news is we have a fantastic new mitzvah. We have to eat matzah. The bad news is, no clue what that means. We'll work it out over the generations. That's not how it happened, says the Rambam. No. The Jewish people needed a user guide there and then. They needed to be able to keep the mitzvah. Don't think for 1 minute that nothing was given on Sinai, but, says the Rambam, that's gufei haTorah. The details, as we'll see, that were derived by Drash came later on. We're going to have to leave it there, because even though there's much more to say, in a minute we're going to be interrupted by a siren. However, hopefully this will serve as a very good introduction to what we're going to say next time. These are so fundamental, these issues, and there are many sources on them, and hopefully we're getting some clarity as we go along. Thank you very much.